I'm here today with Zen Gardner on this very special broadcast of the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Zen, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Benny. Thanks for having me.
Now, what would you like to talk about today?
Well, on my mind and heart, I think the what's front and center is just how freaking surreal the whole situation is in the world today. It's just, it's accelerating, it's over the top, and my advice to people of late is disengage, like, or you'll go down with it. Like, it's gone toxic, and so mad, and absolutely nothing makes sense, you know, from the barrage of BS on the Zimmerman thing, which I just checked the news before we talked and before we got online here, and it's going crazy, all the different riots that yeah, finally it's, getting it, to happen.
Yeah. It's funny you should mention that, Zen, because last night I was up and I believe I published a statistic on my Facebook that said in the 360-odd days, let me see if I can actually find it. In the days since Trayvon Martin was shot by Zimmerman, over 10,000 black people have been shot by other black people and killed. Here we are. In the 513 days between Trayvon dying and today's verdict, 11,106 African-Americans have been murdered by other African-Americans. And this enormous argument ensues, okay? I've been accused of being racist. This is just putting a statistic out there. The white man puts out a statistic. Oh, that's racist. And what I found very interesting is that some of these people who are commenting on this thread, I think there's like 111 comments on it now, are so emotional about it, really, really angry. And I made the point, have you ever heard of Planned Parenthood? And they're like, yeah, yeah, I've heard of Planned Parenthood. Did you know it used to be called the American Eugenics Society? And they're like, no, I didn't know that. Did you know that Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, has admitted in her own words that she's trying to exterminate black people using Planned Parenthood in order to abort all their babies? They're like, no, I didn't know that. Did you know that 80 million of them have been exterminated? And they're like, no, I didn't know that. So what's more offensive to you? One black kid being shot and murdered, or 80 million black kids, or more to the point, and being highly publicized, and what, and or is 80 million black children being killed and covered up? Is that more offensive?
Yeah.
Let's put things into perspective, huh?
Yeah, yeah. It's Orwellian. It's like the hoarders of money who, we were walking the streets. We moved into a third world country recently. It's been a fantastic change. Wanted to get out of the gulag before the final rows of
razor wire
went up.
You're saying you moved into a third world country. I was like, did you come back to the States, did you?
Yeah. Oh, that's going to be one hellhole, I'm telling you. And everybody's seeing it now. It's like there's no repair in a decayed building, man. Things got to come down. But we were walking the streets in a very humble country we're in now with beautiful people, and I can talk freely about these issues that are so important and people want to know more. They don't say, how is that not true? They say, how is that true? And they want to hear more. The exact opposite of the callous, cauterized American mind. I mean, most people are not worth even trying anymore. They've had so many chances. They're not going to hear people anymore. Anyway, that's more or less how I'm feeling about the state of so-called America. But we're talking about in countries like this, you could take one billionaire, we'll say he's a multi-billionaire, he could change a whole country overnight just by sharing a little piece of his fortune. You know, royal families could feed and house the world in overnight, but they won't. We live in a world that is upside down. It is nightmarish. It's sort of like What a Wonderful Life. Remember when the angel let him see the world? What was his name?
Don't you mean the Christmas Carol?
No, it's called What a Wonderful Life. It's Who's that famous actor? Everybody always imitates. Anyway, the angel, he says, I wish I did. You know, he got all upset. His bank fell apart. He said, I wish I never lived. And the angel takes him around town. If he never lived, this is what your town would have looked like. And, you know, everything's brothels and fighting and nastiness. And, you know, there's no love. There's no caring for people. And that's the world we're in today. It's gone. It's mad. It's bizarro. Yet what the Zimmerman stuff, what really upsets me, besides the fact that it's clearly trying to get more, you know, division and racial strife stirred up, and there looks like they're succeeding now finally. They've been working hard at it. But it's a distraction. The news is meaningless. It is pointless. Same with Snowden. It is old news. It's rehash. It's giving people the idea that news has value when it has no value. You know what I mean? That people are getting this mind mush that only suspends their animation that much longer. They can't react to things. They can't think clearly, and they don't even want to think clearly. They're caught in this weird, weird place, and that's, you know, it could be so different, and that's what we all sense. People who have woken up and have a sense of empathy and care for other people on this planet look around and go, what is this place? It nothing makes sense. And it's completely backwards. Yet people are forced to sort of take it on board and, oh, well, make the best of it. No, you don't make the best of it. We need a complete and utter, you know, revolution of proportions that the world has never seen. And also to kind of admit that when things are gone too far, to get the hell out of the way. That's what I'm telling people. If you're going to prepare, you better be where you're supposed to be, because this thing is coming down hard and it's coming down soon. And that's not pessimism. That's just plain realism. And people need to think a little more realistically in the face of this onslaught of complete insanity.
You know, there's a point in there, because yeah. I feel very, very upset a lot of the time when mm-hmm. I hear that people are accusing me of being negative when I'm just talking about reality. Mm-hmm. And it occurs to me that, look, just because you're in denial of reality doesn't mean mm-hmm. I'm negative. It means that exactly. You're in denial.
Exactly. Like the David Icke always says, you know, don't tell me I'm negative. This information is the truth, and the truth is empowering. Whether it sounds negative or not, it's reality. And if you don't deal with it and take it on board, you're going over a cliff like another lemming. And that's the reality we're living in, and it has to be said.
Can I interject something here? Because you're talking about going over the cliff by a lemming. You know how that myth came about? A bunch of researchers were trying to study lemmings, and they tried to herd them, and they chased them off a cliff. And so when they went back, they tried to alleviate their guilt of killing these poor creatures by saying they followed each other off the cliff. They didn't mention to everybody that we chased them off the cliff.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
That sounds so true. I can see that. That's too much.
I love science.
How many things like that are we dealing with in our so-called educational upbringing?
I think what was his name? Jordan Maxwell said it best. Nothing is what you think it is. Nothing.
Yeah, exactly. And if things could be different, they would be. But they don't want them different. They want things just as they are. The education system the way it is. They want the government the way it is. They want people's living conditions the way they are. It's like that, you know, Mayor Amschel Rothschild's wife said before she died, if my sons didn't want wars in the world, there wouldn't be any. You've heard that quote before?
No.
Yeah, his wife said that before she died. You Google that. It's all over the place. No, don't Google it. Start page it or somebody, even though they're all the same. But... they admit it that we are in this degraded state by design, and people fighting for the designers to change it is like, you know, working in a psych ward, you know, and asking the nurse to give you, you know, change your medication, you know, yeah, she'll change it to another medication. It's like, it's anyway, that's what's on the tip of my brain right now, the surreal nature of this whole thing.
I do it's completely sad. Agree with you on it's I don't know, have you ever wondered how everything's going, like how everything is sort of the opposite of what it says it is? So a government says to you, we're here to protect you. No, you're not, you're here to attack me and destroy me and try and exterminate me. The medical system says we're here to heal you. No, you're actually here to implant copious quantities of cancer and disease and to drain my bank accounts and kill me.
There should be an app for that, you know, on your iPhone. Wait a minute, I've got a translator here. You know, let me translate the government speak. Oh no, I see what you're saying. Reverses everything.
Like, we're having this situation in New Zealand now, Zen, where the Prime Minister John Key, who's a former Federal Reserve banker, former head of derivative trading for Merrill Lynch, comes out and says that, we've got this GCSB bill, you know, like the NSA of New Zealand, and if you've got nothing to hide, you've got nothing to worry about. And that translates as, I want to get rid of all your privacy, but retain my own.
Mm-hmm. Well, but that mentality is exactly what keeps Americans cemented in their shoes. That, well, why not bring it on? Because I got nothing to hide, and this is only going to get people who have something to hide. I've got old friends. They work on Wall Street. They're smart guys and all this stuff, and they go, what's the big deal? I mean, they've been funneled into this thing. I call it funnel vision, but these people, they've been funneled into this way of thinking and cannot snap out of it for the life of them. It's shocking. But you're exactly right. That's how they're programmed.
This is the difficulty as well, because what were we talking about? You said that you listened to the show yesterday with Max, I was just watching a small little snippet of it, and it was about programming, getting frustrated at these people who told me to go get a job, and I just said, look, mate, you know, you're a slave. You know, you go to your slave job for 40 hours a week. You go home to your slave block with your slave beer and your slave woman, and you watch your slave boob tube, and then you go back to your slave job. And Max was he said something very important there, and he said, you know, you can't get frustrated with these people because they're just programmed. Mm-hmm. And then I said, if you are programmed, then surely you can be deprogrammed.
Exactly right.
How can we do that? How can we do that?
It's funny. I was on David Icke's website today, and he was saying the best way. He's got a little poster that says, shows a big stack of books, and he says, how to deprogram yourself. You know, it's all about information. It's all about, you know, getting it in there to unravel, you know, the crap that's been intertwined with semi-truths, you know, half-baked ideas, and, you know, all this manipulative language. Information is liberating. It's that simple. People need it now. If it wasn't for the internet, I don't know what would have happened at this point in history. But because we have the internet, this is happening at this accelerating pace, this awakening. I think it's the most thrilling time to be alive yet on the planet, even though we're up against some pretty nasty stuff. What is going on spiritually, this awakening, is just absolutely marvelous. And we can't even, I don't think people could calculate what's happening, you know, take a cray computer kind of a deal to follow it. But you can do it by information. You can do it by love. You can do it by getting free. Number one thing that I like to share with people is taking action. You've got to go with your heart. You've got to take steps towards what you feel either needs to be done or you need to do, or actions that will, you know, like whether it's your eating habits or whether it's where you live or whether it's the friends you keep or sharing more information or standing up for the truth instead of cowering. As people do that and then follow on, the empowerment is amazing. And it'll lead you all kinds of places. And I like to talk about synchronicity, because there's these wonderful dynamics that truth and consciousness bring, that it activates something in the, you know, in the next levels of existence that comes to your assistance. It's always there, and we're always part of it. But as people do that and take steps in those directions, it just unfolds your life. Look at you, how you got to what you're doing, or me, how I got to what I'm doing, or anybody who's activated. You feel it every day. Like, you're compelled to put those videos together. You're compelled to find the next interview. You're compelled to get out your bullhorn and go after these bastards who jailed your friend. And you know, right? We can't help it.
Well, I think I could help it if I didn't have so much empathy. You know? It hurts me to see my friends go to jail. Like, I actually feel pain because I know what it's like to be locked in the cells. You know, I got busted for selling weed when I was in university. Who didn't? And it just, that pain that I felt then is still very much at the forefront in my mind. That fear that I had, the trauma of being locked away in the cells, like it really destroyed my life in a matter of hours, and completely disillusioned me, because up till that point I thought that police were honest. Police and honesty. It's like religion and spirituality, police and honesty. They're two mutually exclusive concepts, right?
Oh my God. I trust the priest. I just love how he drives my face into his crotch every time he hugs me.
Yeah.
God. You know. Oh, it's the truth. But, you know, wake up calls come in all kinds of size and shapes and packages, and you know, whatever it took to get us where we are now, I am thankful. You know, my life's been through a lot of weird bumps and everything, like everybody, but arriving at an awakened state, I don't care what it took. And unfortunately, the people who are refusing it right now, like most Americans, are going to get the ultimate wake-up call, and they're going to be on the defensive. They're not ready for it, and it's going to be rough. But that's what happens to giant empires and civilizations. History tells you the same story over and over, but does anybody pay attention? No. But when it's right in your face like this, it's a pretty sad sight to behold, knowing especially your own loved ones are suffering for it. That is, people just don't want to wake up to what's really going on. It means change. You know, it's a funny thing. I was thinking today about this, and the whole idea how people are trapped in fear, how they can't make decisions anymore. They're immobilized, and they're really holding themselves prisoner. They're holding themselves hostage. That, you know, they can't see the road ahead, and so they hold on to the familiar around them in a misguided sense of safety and security. It was that whole concept of being trapped in fear. It applies to everybody, the awakened community at every level, myself, anybody. When you were afraid to make a move, we're afraid to commit, we're afraid to anything. We get in that bubble. Fear is a very subtle thing. It's not always so obvious. It immobilizes you, and that's how you know you've got a problem. That's why constant change, I think, is the mark of being awake. Personally, my wife and I have moved, I don't know, probably 30, 40, 50 times in our lives. We just like to keep moving, and each time is like dying. You know, you got to give up junk. You have to change environments. You have to adjust. You maybe have to learn a new language. But it's good. It just keeps you alive. And for whatever reason, the universe has led us to do that. And when people have trouble changing, you know, like they say, when you're through changing, you're through. It really applies, especially now. We're in an accelerated state of change of all times. An accelerated stage. You know, we're headed towards this thing they call the singularity and all this kind of stuff, which has varying definitions. But the fact is, our information that we have available and knowledge is accelerating at such a rate. they're trying to use it for a transhuman model, saying that we're reaching a place where, you know, where artificial intelligence will be able to run stuff like Skynet. But the real early definition of it was when things reach such an accelerated state of knowledge and awareness that humanity will pass into a I'm catching your cold. Humanity will pass into a state of awareness and
I find that funny that you're catching my cold. The virus must have come through the internet.
Exactly.
But hey, wait, do you know what you call a virus that came around in the 70s? A retrovirus.
Not bad.
Do you know what you call an abominable snowman that works for the mafia? What? A console yeti.
I should have come armed with some good jokes. I can't remember jokes. I have to be in a certain frame of mind.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's just I was talking to my missus the other day, and I was like, you know what? I come up with so many lame jokes every day. Like, she really hates it because I'm always coming at her with a new incredibly lame pun. And I was just thinking, you know those joke books, you know, 1001 jokes or something like that.
Yeah,
it's just
a
whole list of these incredibly lame jokes with one or two gems in there, kind of thing. The Vinnie Eastwood lame joke book. Oh yeah.
I'm the same way. Language is my playground. And when you get words that sound like things or they have a certain rhythm, I'll bust into a song I'll come up with a crazy pun just like you, drive my wife crazy. It's fun. Like you say, if we can't have fun, man, we're toast.
Yeah. And I was just talking to my friend Penny Bright the other day, and she's like a hardcore activist woman. Just love her. She's always going for – she goes for the throat, you know. And she calls herself Her Worship because she's running for mayor. She's running for mayor, and you call the mayor Your Worship. And so she calls herself Her Worship. And I was having a conversation with one of her friends the other day, Grace Hayden.
New twist on battle axe.
Exactly. And I was having a conversation with one of her friends the other day called Grace Hayden. She's a 15-year police prosecuting sergeant. Now she's kind of like a private investigator / activist, a lovely woman. And she says, you know, I don't think the calling herself Her Worship goes down with a lot of people. And I said, that's not true. Warships do go down with a lot of people.
Yeah, da-da-da-da-da. That's so true. Well, that's got a lot of meanings.
Yeah.
Oh, what a riot. What a riot.
Oh, yeah, man. It was just we all just cracked up at that, and it was just...
That's hilarious.
And I was thinking about this. It actually really is a talent and a skill to turn a normal, serious conversation into something that's actually quite clever, witty, and hilarious. And... Yeah. Indeed, it is something that is absolutely required nowadays because the quantity of things that people are reading through and talking about are not very pleasant, and it becomes difficult for people to maintain any sense of balance in their life, because you have a look at other radio show hosts, and as far as I know, I'm the only one who predominantly uses humor. You know, you think about Alex Jones, there's a little bit of humor in there sometimes, but most of the time it's I have the documents and
anger.
You know, my head just gets so full of the New World Order and the scumbaggery. I just go off on a tangent. I'm sorry, I'm ranting. I said I would take your calls, you know. Which I love, for what it is, but
it's like a class in anger mismanagement.
Yeah.
Oh God! Oh, well, look at the mainstream. They don't. How much humor do you ever see? I mean, I don't watch the crap anymore. But anything mainstream, there's no humor in it. And if it is, it's some staged line that's got some, you know, cutesy thing that glorifies the announcer or something, but no spontaneity. They can't afford to have it. Truth might get in, you know? Mm. They can't have it.
That's right. And I think the last time I saw something on mainstream news in New Zealand that was a impromptu joke was back in 2009. Where the news announcer says, and after the news program today, there will be a program called British Sex, and they cut back to the student and goes, I didn't know they had any.
How rare! Yeah. It's just way too rare.
Well, and this is the thing: you got to laugh all day, every day, and I wonder. I actually should study this. Because I don't normally study things. I normally just talk to people, right? But I actually really should study rather intensely what the effect of laughter is on the body, on the mind, on your sanity.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's considered medicine in a lot of the, you know, shamanic writings, old spiritual writings. It's considered medicine. It actually heals. They'll use, that's why, remember that clown, the story, Robin Williams did a story on the clown
Patch
doctor.
Adams. Patch Adams.
Yeah, fabulous story. Mm. You know, and it's just driven by love and compassion and really wanting to get through to people and willing to just be anything in order to accomplish his job. That's love, you know. That's real love.
Am I the Patch Adams of talk radio?
Patch him in, John. He's ready to go.
I love the bit in that movie where they have a gynecologist conference, and so there's the opening doorway into this conference, and Patch has had these two women's legs kind of made on opposite sides of the doorway, you know, open and stirrups, and he's like welcoming them all into the conference, and he goes, "If you think it's hot out here, woo!"
That's really clever.
This is the thing. Humor is actually clever. And I recall what's his name? Dr. Bill Deagle on Genesis Network. He told me that there are two career choices for which you have to be extremely intelligent. Like the two most intelligent people have these two different careers. One being theoretical physicists and the other being comedians.
Mm-hmm. Stand up. Mm. Mm-hmm. And look at the genius of Bill Hicks or George Carlin. I mean, and it's brilliant, beyond brilliant. Humor and laughter is a triumphant thing. It surpasses all the mundane bullshit that passes as information in communication. You know, that's why people, go to a party and get high and just break out in laughter and just let go, because they're all contained all day long. You know, they're muffled, they're, you know, over scheduled, they're over everything, and they just want to let go. Look at the British. My first wife is English, and I lived in England for a while, and the British humor is amazing. But the reason they're such good actors is because they're so suppressed socially. And what they let it out via drama and humor, and you know their wry humor is just charged with you know, all kinds of innuendo and all kinds of stuff. It's brilliant stuff. And the Americans can't even get most of it. To them, it's not, there's not enough slapstick or idiocy, you know. But anyway, just a thought on that.
Well, that's true, and also this brings me to another point. Americans becoming anti-American. It's like. There's little identification with the American spirit, the American culture, patriotism anymore, because it's all become corrupted. And I was wondering what your perspective was on that, because you definitely don't speak highly of modern American life and the lifestyle. And I want to know why is that, and secondly, what exactly is it that you think about America and Americans today?
Interesting. The patriotism and nationalism and this kind of stuff is always fascinating to take apart. The more you learn about American history, its Masonic roots, the way it was brought into being and manipulated, your boyish ideals of this super freedom, bastion of freedom, born out of this desire for freedom from King George and all this stuff, it gets really nastily jaded, because while those emotions appeal and there's maybe something to it, America's founding is a pretty sad story in many ways. People want to believe the red, white, and blue, you know, Paul Revere thing, who was also a Freemason, and the Tea Party guys who were Freemasons, and the whole inception of the place, when you go back to the European roots and you study it, you realize this place was planned ahead of time. And, you know, the same old banksters, same old manipulators, same old Illuminati type creeps, you know, social engineers, they had this whole thing pre-designed ahead of time. And I personally kind of think it maybe got out of hand a bit, because people actually did get free and their plan got a little bit, you know, derailed for a bit, but they got back on top of it with the Fed and all kinds of other machinations. But I don't have, you know, I don't have any red, white, and blue blood in me. I don't believe in patriotism. There's a lot of beautiful Americans. There is this thriving sense of ingenuity and motivation that Americans have displayed. But at the same time, you've got the corporate greed built in there. You've got the decimation of the Native Americans and the blacks. You've got the decimation of the natural beauty of the country. And, you know, I don't blame that on all the people. That certainly is more the controllers, these people that are motivated by their own hellish, you know, guides, you know, from wherever they come. But it's not this red, white, and blue Statue of Liberty. I mean, that's just another statue of ISIS. It goes right back to Babylon. If you go through the, I'm sure you've seen all the pictures of how D.C. was, Washington, D.C. was built, you know, and all the imagery in it. And it's got all these goddesses all over the temples. And it's the same old stuff. So that's right from the beginning. So this thing was planned. What's happened to Americans now is, I mean, it's pitiful. Have you been there, Vinny? You've been to the States?
When I was 14, and let me explain something. I live in New Zealand. Okay, it's relatively right. Pristine. Okay, I'd never seen smog before, and then when we're coming into land at LAX, I saw this thing for the first time.
Yeah,
and that's your opening impression of the United States: disgusting, polluted wasteland. Full of Fuddruckers restaurants and Monterey Jack cheese.
Yeah. It is, you know, like they use that, the modern Babylon, and it is, it's infected the world. It's been used as a base. It's obviously the military base of the, you know, the world engineers. I think they're going to take it down just like they're going to take down Israel deliberately as part of this, you know, self-immolation in order to bring about what they hope to have as their new world order, crap campaign.
You know what it appears. You know what it occurs to me. It's like satanic sacrifice.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. Very much. They don't mind sacrificing their own. I wrote a article recently. I don't know if you looked at some of the recent stuff, but it's, would 9/11 truth bring America down? Be the downfall of America? How, you know, what a perfect way to cause America to have a complete implosion. But to, let's say, take the 9/11 issue and try it in the world court, and it comes out what really happened, and Americans would just be, what did they say, gobsmacked in South Africa? They would just be, you know, they would just turn them topsy-turvy. The rest of the world would rise up in such indignation, looking for revenge in any possible way, to realize this whole war on terror is a complete scam and fraud, and how many millions of people have been sacrificed in the process. Now, whether that actually happens on the political plane or not, that is more or less what the spiritual takedown is going to be like as these things implode. The idea of America has to be killed. The idea of a freedom, a free bastion, what they think is a free bastion, but America, if you do anything, has more regulations than any country, hands down, whether it be building a house, getting a license, doing anything. It is over the top regulated. It is anything but free. They keep the illusion of freedom, and the people, you know, with their fireworks and their football games and beer drinking and blah, blah, blah. But there, it's, you know, I got six cars and I don't own any of them, is the case in some of these neighborhoods. They're so freaking in debt. There's no way out. But the illusion is still there. You got the big cars, and you got the big cities, and you've got the glam of Hollywood, and, you know, the high finance buildings and all this kind of stuff. And it's a complete lie. It's a complete lie. It's an illusion, and it's going to come down so hard, the whole world's going to be in awe. It's going to be one hell of a come down. And it's already imploded. I heard an interesting thing Ike said once. He said, the state of the world is like when you see a building being demolished by demolition. If there's a second when they blow up the whole core and all the supporting columns and the foundation, and it stays, hangs there for a second, and then it just falls, free fall. Well, we're in the second, these last few years, we're in the second of when that suspended thing, when there's no core, and it's just going to fall straight down. And not just the U.S., that supports the infrastructure of, it's connected to the whole world.
You know, something occurred to me while you were saying this, and I'd like to interject this. I'm sorry to interrupt, but...
That's all right.
You know when people wake up to the fact that 9/11 is an inside job, or wake up to the fact that the vaccines aren't there to help you, or wake up to the fact that the government are a bunch of ruthless criminal sociopathic scumbaggery who are hatching schemes to exterminate you and lie to you about everything, right? You get really depressed, or really angry, or a combination of both. Now, at the moment, it's happening on an individual basis. You know, one person will get depressed and angry, and another, and another, and another. Imagine the chaos of everybody, the whole world, suddenly being depressed and angry. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. That's exactly the dynamic I'm talking about. And it's, in one way or another, it's going to come to pass. I don't know, you know, everybody talks about it, the next false flag, and are they going to nuke an American city or some wild thing to get everybody's eyes off of all this, all these scams and lies and the complete, you know, because it's becoming obvious to even Americans that this is completely wrong. And, you know, we've been taken over. This beautiful article today, actually, by Paul Craig Roberts about that, I put up on my site that it's from Global Research, but it says the coup has happened. It's done, you know, and people need to admit it. It's been taken over and it's done with. And that's the case. It's a done deal. If people have to see it for what it really is. And that's part of this wake up you're talking about. But when it hits the lower levels of people who haven't really transcended this, you know, this hypnotic mindset, when it reaches the next level, like you're saying, it's going to go off like methane in the ocean floor. It's going to just blow and cause some serious freaking damage and, you know, chemical reactions and all kinds of stuff. And I don't think like that's going to happen. It has to, because it's the truth. You know, but now I'll be okay, fine. We can take it to the next level and say, okay, when you die, you'll find all this out. Maybe that's going to happen. It's going to be a nuclear war. Everybody's going to pass through and find out on the other side. I don't know, but it's going to happen because it's there. It's already happened. That's the point. People are waiting for something to do, and it happened already. It's done. It's like World War III is here. The definition of a world war is when, I forget how many countries are involved, but you know, a certain amount of countries are involved in the war. Well, there's gobs of countries that have been involved in this war since it started with Afghanistan, went to Iraq. We're in a world war. It's already happening. We don't have to be at war with China and Russia to make it World War III. We're in the middle of it. You know, this is an open-ended war against terror, which you can't defeat. It's like saying it's a war against, you know, oxygen or something, or war against, you know, termites. I don't know what.
But it, you know, or a war against stupidity.
Yeah. You know, they actually had, there was a war on, what was the one that LBJ did?
A war on morons.
What was the one that LBJ did in the States? It was war on poverty, I think it was. He had for years. And then, what's his name? Jimmy Carter. He put into place this thing on the alternative energy research.
And the war on foreign oil.
But it's that thing that Carter made. It's been the behemoth sucking, you know, tens and hundreds of millions of dollars to research on alternative energy. They come up with nothing. It's just another boondoggle to soak up, you know, taxpayers' money and give government, you know, people government employment, which now is about 40% of the country. And if you add the spouse to each family, it's something like 40-45% of the country is working for the government. How's that?
Well, and now, incidentally, more people in the United States are on food stamps than people who are employed.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. It's off the charts. You see, this lady got busted the other day. Well, it was a guy that a SWAT team was sent by the what's the name of the outfit? Huh? Department of Education sent a SWAT team to a house of this man and his son lived in, broke in, threw the guy in the car, put the kids in the back room, ransacked the house. The woman they were looking for wasn't there, and the charges were she hadn't paid her student loan. Now, if that isn't a little sign of the times, I don't know what is. And that stuff's in the news every day now. That's kind of the point of what I'm saying. You've got your daily insanities, going to be your daily 10 insanities. It's like, I don't even want to look at it. It's Snowden stuff, Zimmerman stuff, it's all distraction. It really doesn't have much, because it tends to get people thinking towards a reformation of what we've already got. We need this thing to come down, and people need to wake the hell up and have a complete change of paradigm. And whatever helps that along, the better, you know, and as peacefully as possible. But I can't see that anymore either. People are so far gone insane. God knows how they're going to act in the midst of all this. Did I lose you?
No, I'm still here.
No.
And you know what's funny is I was just thinking about this. If you got people who are willing to go and ransack a person's house for not paying their student loan, you better make sure those people are frickin' morons, all right?
Oh, yeah.
And sure enough, it's come out, and in fact it's been known about for quite some time, that the police deliberately recruit people of below average intelligence, deliberately recruit police with low levels of morality and empathy, deliberately employ people who have psychopathic, cruel tendencies, deliberately employ people who are liars. And then you just think about this. It's like, oh my God, the police invariably, one way or the other, will eventually become a whole bunch of moronic, psychopathic, cruel liars. Oh my God.
Cranked on drugs.
That they stole from the people that they're busting, of course.
Yeah. You know, if you Google the police and steroid abuse, you're going to find some really interesting information. Somebody on my website sent me an article the other day, and it's just the behavior of these guys really has the hallmark of steroid abuse. When they go into these tirades, you know, where they're stamping on people's heads and they're just gone crazy. Like they're
tackling pregnant women to the ground in broad daylight for no reason. Yeah. They're tipping people out of their wheelchairs in full view of the public.
They shot a guy, a security guard, who was reading a book in his car, and they shot him through the window.
They opened up on a crowd on one person and shot 80 bullets in a crowded street with no thought of bullet tracking and that kind of thing. Actually, emptied the clips out of their Glocks and then reloaded and fired again.
That's what I'm talking about. It's insane. It's insane. People need to really think about where they're living, what they're doing. Are they prepared? And, you know, I'm all about screaming from the rooftops about all this stuff, but people need to really have a little talk with their family and decide, you know, are we living where we should be living? This is going to happen. It's already happening. Do you want to be here? Do you not? Not everybody can leave the country. I know that. I was led to do it. It's, for me, it's part of following synchronicity, following my heart, following what I learn and what I believe to be true. If everybody would do that, end of problem. End of problems on the world. Everything would be, you know, would be solved if people would just live by the heart and actually do it, not just talk about it. But unfortunately, the fear vibe is really, really strong. Like that, what I was saying earlier, it's something that has to be overcome, almost like punching your way out of a bag. You have to take daily efforts. You know what a fight it is to get your stuff together for a show or to get, you know, find the information from an article or what was that thing I found out or how do I do this? I mean, I bust my horns every day. I'm a one-horse operation. Well, my dear wife helps me. But, you know, like you were saying yesterday, Max Egan and his squad. Well, no, it's Max. He does it by himself. You know, I mean, I have a fantastic web guy, but he's, you know, he's just doing the mechanical stuff, but he's got great ideas, but it's
what's interesting?
Single people like us.
Can I explain something, I mean, to the audience listening? You don't realize how powerful or capable you are. So when you see people like myself, Zen, Max, David Icke, whatever, and you think, oh, we've got a whole team of people behind us. No, it's just us. We're just people who've realized how powerful and capable we are. That's why we accomplish so much, so that it appears that there's 10,000 people working at the same time. That's how powerful you can be, too. If only you would stop doubting yourself. If only you would stop saying, oh, I need help to begin. If only you would stop saying, oh, I need somebody else's approval or somebody else's motivation or somebody else's say-so before I start going off and doing this. If only I didn't have my slave job. If only. And here's the thing. Stop making excuses. You can be precisely as powerful as we all are. You know why we've become this influential? You know why we accomplished this much work? Is because we stopped making excuses too.
Yeah, right on. Right on, brother. And everybody has the exact same motor. We all got the same capability. It's really putting it in action. And I mean, I live to try to inspire people to just do it, take the next step. Some amazing people that I've got, wonderful people who visit my site and terrific conversations, really sharp folks. And I'm so thankful for them. And yeah, teach me so much. And there's just a great vibe going on. But, I lost my train of thought. What was I going to say? They contribute, and they're all starting from where they are. But some of them, you know what? I said, hey, why don't you write an article about that? Put this together. Now they got blogs. I got a guy, this Chautauqua, who you'll see stuff if you go to my site. He's a vet who's been through God knows amazing stuff in his life, but just an amazing person. Pete Crackers, if you haven't had him yet, I really hope you'll get him on your show. I'll write you a note about it. But he goes by Mr. Pete Crackers on YouTube. Man of heart of gold. It tells it like it is. He's just having this amazing reception because what's the difference? What are we doing? We're telling the truth. That's all. We're telling the truth. We're expressing love by telling the truth. You know, I started off, I remember I was posting on a little health website, and I would be zapped when I had 35 people come. They said, wow, 35 people came and read that article. That's amazing. And I started just by sending stuff out to friends I was passionate about. Look at this. Did you see this? What about this? What do you think of this? And it just took off little at a time. And that's what's happened. I'm seeing it happen with people on my website. They're starting their own blogs. Fantastic folks. They're getting responses. It's traction. People need to get that traction, whatever it takes. And sometimes it's getting rid of crap, physical crap in your life. Sometimes it's moving. Sometimes it's changing the people with. One thing at a time. That's all we can do. But I share your passion, man.
Well, and can I ask, the thing that made me passionate is essentially suffering, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what motivated me because I to have such empathy for people because I know how they feel because I've suffered. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering, did that happen to you or how did you actually wake up and get involved and start just going, you know what, I'm going to stop making excuses, I'm going to get out there, I'm going to do such and such and blah, blah, blah. Or has it always been that way for you?
Well, wow, that's a big question. I mean, well, not really in some, but I've had what I consider five major changes in my life where I actually had to completely turn the page and start over. And each time I grew in another way. But everything didn't. And it started out when I was a hippie in college. I told you I went to Woodstock and I was part of that whole era. And and I had my first mescaline trips completely opened me up. I mean, just. And I got into mysticism, full boat. I got into all kinds of stuff. I was raised in the East Coast. I wanted to go to the West Coast, see what was going on. I went to Berkeley, and there's all these strung out kids on drugs. I'm like, what's going on here? You start seeing it's sort of like the story,
Hold that thought, because American Freedom Radio is now contacting us, and we can actually go live for the second hour. All right. We'll be right back, folks. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand. It's the island chains nation in the sunny slave South Pacific, and it's not only fluoridated, it's also Fukushima irradiated, which is good for the economy, because now everybody can get a part-time job as an incandescent light bulb. And my very special guest is Zen Gardner. We're trying to connect him up now. And we were just having a conversation off air. There was a bit of a technical issues at the American Freedom Radio. And I apologize to everybody who tried to tune in for the first hour to get those technical difficulties. And we're still having them, unfortunately, and can't connect Zen. So it looks like I'm just going to, instead of having a conversation with him off air and recording that, now I'm all alone. Thank you, technical issues. Just love that. Okay. What am I going to talk about? How about I summarize for the audience exactly what me and Zen were on about during the last hour? How about that? Okay. Well, America. What is it about America nowadays that's making so many Americans, awake Americans, get the frack out of there? It's the new Babylon. You know, when I was 14 and I came to America for the first time, I'd never seen smog before. And then when I landed at LAX, it was like I was landing in a land of disgusting filth, populated by idiots who had no idea where New Zealand is or what it was, surrounded by fast food restaurants, Fuddruckers and Monterey Jack cheese. And yet, everybody seemed to be really happy with that situation. Isn't that unbelievable? Isn't that just crazy? That something that allegedly started off as a free nation, something that allegedly was the home of the entrepreneurial spirit, freedom, patriotism, that kind of thing, has now simply become a, as George Carlin said, one giant shopping mall. Isn't that a terrifying thing to behold? And indeed, Americans are the sacrificial lambs of the New World Order. They've built you up so that they can tear you down. And Zen talked about how, oh, and I think we're getting him now. I'll just add him to the conversation. He was talking about how 9/11 truth could actually destroy and bring down America. Zen, welcome to the program. Well, I was just reiterating our last conversation about how 9/11 truth could bring down and destroy America, because you'd have so many people, like when you wake up to 9/11 truth or whatever, you get really depressed and really angry. But it's only happening one person at a time, you know, isolated. And if it suddenly became like a big international thing, suddenly you'd have the whole world getting depressed and angry at the same time, and imagine the chaos that would ensue. Yes. And then imagine the order that would be imposed by the Illuminati in order to, you know, order out of chaos. That's the 33rd degree Freemasonic motto, isn't it?
Yeah. Can you hear me okay?
Just fine.
Oh, good. I missed the intro. I got my line dropped for a while.
Yeah. We've sorted it now.
Okay, good.
Now, anyway, let's jump forward. And let's talk about what we were interrupted in during the first hour. I asked you what woke you up to all of these things, and you said that you had gone to Woodstock and taken mezcal, and you got into mysticism and that sort of thing. Would you please continue?
Sure. That was in my college years. And I really got into studying. Mysticism has always fascinated me. And I took a lot of, it's funny, I started in engineering in college, and I went out of college studying Eastern philosophy. And my parents were like, what happened to this kid? But so I took off, I started traveling, went all over the world. I was really searching and went through different phases. And, a lot happened. I had my my three kids on the road. Two were born in India. One was born in Iran just before Khomeini came. But a lot of traveling, a lot of interesting stuff. Did a lot of volunteer work, a lot of editing, some television and radio. And it went on, and I went through different levels of awareness of what's going on, like everybody. And when I came back to the States after living overseas for 20 years, it was quite a shock. And I got a sales job with selling a healthy cooking system and doing demonstrations. And this really was interesting because I traveled around the country and I did a lot of presenting and understanding people. Unfortunately, there was a lot of the sales techniques in it. And like Bill Hicks says, if you're in sales or marketing, kill yourself. So I went through that phase, learned a lot though. But the really big wake up finally came. I went through a political spell and I was caught in the paradigms and I was very upset about the direction of the world. But when 9/11 truth ripped open my brain, that was it. It's Visible says, you know, it's the litmus test. And it really was a big deal. But I was at a point at that time, I was so ripe, and all the things I'd been through and studied and kept studying and all the different experiences and paradigms I'd been through all came to a head just before that. And I was deep into the social engineers of Europe and what was behind these changes happening in the States and thinking, well, is this my time to stand up for what? Like, what am I here for? I'm missing something. And it was at that point, bam, the 9/11 truth came to me, and it really put everything in perspective. And I just lost my shirt in all these stupid things that had been going on, the manipulation of the money. And it was the best thing that ever happened. And I just went off, lived near the beach, and studied for 2-3 years straight, just devoured everything I could find about anything, especially the spiritual, but also, you know, connecting the dots of what's really going on. And that was really what got me fired up. And I said, okay, I'm throwing in here. This is what I've always been searching for. All my buttons have been activated, and I'm all in on this and wherever it takes me. And it's interesting. You said earlier, if people hear the first hour, you were talking about how people are, I don't know what the word you used. You referenced this in some way. How people, you know, dive into the, oh yeah, we're talking about most of us out here more or less on our own. We're alone together, but a lot of us are fighting through this stuff, researching and trying to get the message out and helping people. And we're pretty much one horse operations, a lot of people. And we of course we help each other. And I have so many people to thank, as all of us do. But we're going down a highway that's got like four lanes now of already laid pavement of truth laid down by our predecessors, people who have gone before us, who've given their lives and sacrificed everything to find out the information they did, leading across the pass to a natural place, this highway of truth. Actually, this analogy came to me while I was listening to your show with Max Egan. But we have so many people to thank, but each of us has our machines there on the very edge. You know, you've seen these big road building convoys, and they're amazing. They chew it up and they dig the land, and then they do this and they put the rock and they do this. And that's what's going on with the truth movement. The real truth movement is out there grinding the path, and hordes of people are coming down this highway now, and they're coming to the end, and they're starting to settle in this new valley of truth. It's happening. It's like the building of the Panama Canal. First, somebody had to visualize it, then somebody had to kind of design it. Then they had to go out there and topographically map the thing, you know. Then they had to, you know, all the other stuff involved. Then they got to bring all these people in who just dug it for years and years and gave their lives. But finally, now boats can go through unimpeded, and they have no idea what it costs to put that thing there. But the point is that access is now there, and that's what we're all doing. We're building this highway of truth, and every person matters. I don't care if somebody's out there. I remember when I was in Colombia, somebody would come to your house with the top of a tuna can or some kind of can that was opened by a hand opener, and they would be willing to cut your lawn, picking one little sprig at a time and cutting it with the edge of a lid of a can. That's how willing they were to work for to make a living for their family. And if that's all anybody can do, then do it. I mean, and that's how I started. You know, like I was telling you, I had 35 hits on an article, and I was like, you know, elated. Like, wow, somebody's reading. I'm reaching somebody. I don't even know who they are. What a cool dynamic. You know, and then it just grew and it grew. And as I expressed what I learned and what I felt, the voice got louder, the message gets clearer, the wonderful people come into your life to encourage and inspire you. I mean, the dynamic, I can't tell people enough what happens when you get into this flow, and it's for everybody. You know, I'm no hot shit. I'm no special person.
We're now under FCC regulations, so I apologize to the affiliates. Sorry. Yeah. In the first hour, it was kind of free and clear.
I see what I said. I said special person. Sorry about that.
Yeah. I mean, we say the word Shiite Muslim if we want to say that word. Or frack if we want to say the F word.
Okay.
There's word replacement therapy.
I can tell you that.
Yeah. And it was interesting you saying that 9/11 truth was the litmus test, because when I found out about it, I got scared litmus.
Where is that little miss? Oh, geez. Jenny, the world was never made for people as beautiful as you. You've heard that song, right?
Hey, I'm 6 foot four. I know exactly what you mean. Okay? Anybody who's 6 foot four getting into a Japanese car, it becomes abundantly clear that this world is not made for people like me.
I'm quoting Don McLean. I was thinking about that song today. Should have told you, Vinny, the world was never made for people as beautiful as you.
Yeah.
That's the dark cage that we were describing earlier. You know, there's this dark thing that has been imposed on humanity, and it's a complete lie. It's real in its own self, but we can't reinforce it by reacting to it. We can't reinforce it by getting hateful. We can't reinforce it by playing its games, like the Zimmerman baloney and the fracking Snowden stuff. It's like all this stuff is designed to keep us at a lower level vibration of thinking, cause and effect. He's doing this, and who's the good guy, who's the bad guy. We've got to transcend this and learn to live in a much more conscious universe now. And it really brings things into a wonderful perspective. All of a sudden you're not interested. If there's a website you are suspicious about and you're not sure if it's really for you or not, you know what? You're just going to stop going to it. It'll happen naturally. It's a wonderful dynamic. You know, as the more awake you get, it works in your favor. And it's not so much a mental process as a heart process. And I just can't wait for more people to get tuned into it, because it's really our future. It's really our solution for right now. And the more people tuned into it, boy, we're going to have a lot of fun.
And, you know, back on the Zimmerman case, and we mentioned this in the first hour. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, you'll be able to listen to that first hour when it's uploaded at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. I'm just going to splice the 2 hours together. Frack it. And what occurred to me, I was just thinking about this, because I published this statistic on my Facebook about there's been about, like, I don't know, about 11,000 African Americans have killed other African Americans in the 500 days since George Zimmerman shot Trayvon. And I was accused of being racist, essentially, for publishing a statistic. The white man is using statistics. You know, it's like, this is one of the most horrible racial crimes nowadays. You know, a white man uses statistics. Oh my God, he's practically wearing a KKK hood. All right, he's armed with statistics. It is statistics are the new lynch mob. You know, so
weapon of mass destruction.
Yeah, exactly. And I said, and it, something occurred to me. You know what? This is a misnomer. Yeah. One dude kills one child. Okay, even if it was self-defense, even if it's guilty, doesn't matter. And I've probably offended like thousands of millions of people right now, and they've just switched off the radio show because they're so fracking close-minded that they can't even listen to truth or facts. Maybe not the listeners to this show. But anyway, you know what's more offensive than one kid being shot by one guy one night? 80 million black children being deliberately aborted by Planned Parenthood, that used to be called the American Eugenics Society, and actually has Margaret Sanger as its head saying we're trying to deliberately exterminate the blacks. That's more offensive. We'll be right back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Let's bring that music down, eh? Let's bring that music down. Because I don't want to waste my time with you here, Zen. It was actually really nice doing it commercial free for the first hour. So let's try and get as much done as humanly possible. And I've got my my lovely Sarah bringing me coffee. And I've got Zen Gardner on the show.
Hi, Sarah.
Yeah, and we're talking about scumbaggery and people being distracted by false dichotomies like racism. When hello, it's actually just the New World Order trying to exterminate everybody at the exact same time. Okay, it had nothing to do with racism. It has to do with if you're not one of the elite billionaires, you're fracked, and they want to kill you. And they use people, this case, like Trayvon Martin. No offense to anybody intended here when I say this. They're using it to distract you so that they can kill you. Okay? They're using it to get you to fight amongst each other so that you kill each other instead of actually figuring out what the heck is going on here. Instead of finding out the copious quantities of scumbaggery individuals that are trying to frack you over every single fracking day. It isn't George Zimmerman that tried to kill you. It isn't George Zimmerman that is destroying the country. It isn't George Zimmerman that is taking over the entire world and pumping everybody full of noxious vaccines and chemtrails and fluoride and so on and so forth. It ain't George Zimmerman! But he's the one you're getting angry at. Isn't that interesting? Why don't you grow the frack up, ladies and gentlemen, and realize the truth, the real, simple, obvious truth, that you are a slave, and those who are enslaving you are cunning manipulators that are really good at distracting you from that very important truth.
Find out who you're not allowed to criticize, and you'll find out who's ruling over you.
Mark Twain, wasn't it?
I think it's Voltaire. You hearing me okay?
Yeah.
Voltaire, or Goethe, I don't know, I think it's Voltaire. But yeah, it's...
Voltaire also said, those who can make you believe absurdities can make you commit atrocities. And now, yeah. Aren't there a whole bunch of riots going on?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you got a president, so-called. It's this cardboard cutout fellow. He says Trayvon could have been my son. I mean, since when does a president weigh in any manner on a court case and a court decision? You know, this guy has freedom of reign. He can just say whatever he wants about anything, tip the scales, push emotional buttons. I mean, it's part of the surreal setup we were talking about earlier. The whole thing's surreal. It's meant to scramble your eggs and keep you from making decisions. Very important decisions, like where the hell are you supposed to be? You know, what do I do next? What do I need to cut out of my life so I'm no longer part of this hypnotic spell? You know, that's what people should be working on. And whether it means quitting your job, I mean, a lot of people are doing it. They're getting out. They're saying, I'm off the treadmill. The Matrix is killing me. And I believe that it's killing me in ways I cannot perceive. And that's what people have to come to terms with. We are not smarter than the Matrix. People who think they can go in and figure it out and all this stuff are just going to get stuck in the spider web.
As Cypher said, there's way too much information to decode the Matrix.
Yeah. The people get slain by trying to take on the wrong thing. The smart people stay away from it. You know, it's a trap.
Yeah, see, that's just like they say in the Matrix about the agents. You see, everybody who has stood and fought an agent has died. Okay, people have emptied entire clips at them and hit nothing but air. If you see an agent, you do what we do. You run. You run your ass off.
Yeah.
And this is precisely what you've done, isn't it, Zen? You've gotten out of the Fourth Reich.
Well, I did a post maybe a year or so ago. It said if your back's against the wall, don't be there. Like, people are wondering, well, I'm against the wall. Do I bring out my gun? Do I use an Uzi against the attackers? Well, fine. If your family's under deliberate attack by something and you're under, you know, literal life-threatening circumstances, that's one thing. But if your back's up against the wall, what were you doing there? You know, why were you there if you if you think you're smart and aware, and you saw these forces building for so long, why did you do nothing? Why did you stand there as if nothing's happening? Why didn't you respond to the prompts? And that's the problem. People are in such hypnotic states after years of conditioning. Even the awake, many awake people don't know what to do. They're perplexed. It's like levels of fear. It's stuff we have to really, really work at, you know, expunging from our lives. And it's
you mentioned this in the first hour about David Icke. He said how to deprogram, and there's this gargantuan stack of books.
Yeah.
You know, it's so true, isn't it? You know, it takes how many decades did it take us to become brainwashed morons, and then how many decades does it take for us to realize how stupid we are, and then on top of that, how many decades does it take to achieve some form of enlightenment?
Yeah, and deprogram, like you said. There's a lot of undoing to do. It's simple. It's not that hard, especially when you take action. That's the thing that people have a hard time really realizing they're being inhibited from taking action on the prompts that they're getting. You know, whether it's, like I said, I keep repeating, whether it's moving somewhere, whether it's getting more preparations, it's ballast. You're every time you let grains of truth into your real life from what you understand, you know, consciously, and you let it into your life, it creates ballast of reality, ballast of being able to deal with what's coming, a ballast of being able to make the next decision. It's a principle of living consciously that is not some ethereal cereal. It's not some, you know, fool on the hill twiddling around, you know. It's very, very practical, and that's the real world. That's the real reality that exists, where there's beauty and there's love and there's harmony and there's sharing and there's bounty. But what we're being told, and the images we're always bombarded with, is scarcity, fear, you know, nervousness. Like what you described right a minute ago was pretty much you are being told, you feel like you have to walk on eggshells to even mention this Trayvon BS, you know?
Us to call it BS, because we're white, and I don't believe there's only one race, it's called the human fracking race, and we're all brothers in it, as far as I'm fracking concerned. I don't care if I see a black person get shot, white person, Asian person, whatever, that disgusts me. And I want to help that person, okay? Yeah. You know why? Because he's a human being.
Yeah.
You know, and for people to judge me for caring about humanity more than I care about racial prejudice is freaking stupid.
Yeah, yeah. It's it's pretty insane. The way to get out of it, I think, is you know, I like to emphasize that there is a way out. You know, there is a path. I'm call it a path. Maybe that's a too linear, but there's a way to progress to where we are no longer part of this mess, and things become more evident, and you become more empowered. And a beautiful thing that I always talk about, and that really resonates with me, is synchronicity. When things start to waken up in your lives, all of a sudden, man, I was just thinking about you, boom. Or, you know, if you see certain numbers, or, you know, things appear in your life, and those happen more and more frequently as you align yourself with conscious awareness and taking action. You can't just sit there and soak it up and not do anything. There's a lot to be done, and it's one step at a time. We don't have to know the whole distant scene. You know, we take one step at a time and we'll be fine. But unfortunately, people, like I said earlier in that first hour, people opt out for the security of just sitting still because they're familiar with it. And that applies across the board. All of us have that problem, you know. All of us have to battle that every day, when making decisions. It's really what we're up against. But here's another thing that I think is really important too. We've got to stop blaming the external forces for our problems, for our inability to react. We can't blame the government. We can't blame the nasty people accusing you of whatever. You know, we can't blame the police, we can't blame the military, we can't blame the banksters. Ultimately, our life is for ours to steer and decide upon, and nothing should stop that. Unfortunately, this blame mechanism is part of this, like, Masonic black-white, us-them paradigm that they always want to throw us into, this push me, pull me bullshit, I'm sorry, bull skank, whatever.
BS.
excuse me, FAA.
It's the FCC.
You guys too.
And I should go tell, and you know, and I wanted to tell them, if you.
Oh, geez. But it's this imposed playground that they give everybody of this us versus them. And if you watch for it. It's everything's this little ping pong game that distracts, whereas we need to rise above it. There's a way to transcend it. And synchronicity, what I started to say, is just the most wonderful thing. When you start to see it places, it helps you transcend. It helps you snap out of whatever little false paradigm is trying to corral your mind or your heart or your spirit. There's things that can empower us, and it has everything to do with information, everything to do with your lifestyle, you know, getting away from things that influence you the wrong way. Whatever steps you need to take it, and time is short. You know, this whole thing's going to blow. You want to be in the right place. Most of all, you want to be in the right place spiritually. You want to be prepared. You want to be the strength to your family that you need to be when this hits the fan, that you can be someone who has knowledge and love and wisdom and responds consciously to whatever's coming our way. And that's going to happen all over the world. There's no, you know, I left because I'd done it before, and I knew how gratifying it was to get out from inside that horrific penitentiary. I mean, it's, you know, it's bombarded, besides chemtrails, the water, the food, the everything. You know, the EMFs, you got cell towers on top of schools, hospitals, any place there's people. I mean,
It comes through every orifice. It's like the penitentiary that is penetratory.
Yeah. Oh, it's horrific. They're out to kill. They're out to maim. They're out to dumb down. They're out to cripple. And people need to freaking get away from it, or fracking, whichever they want to do. But people need to escape it, you know, escape the madness, because you cannot stand up to it. You know, but we can use devices to fight EMFs, and we can take, you know, Z-Tox to fight the radiation. And I do all these things, and I've got Organite around the house. And I take a lot of supplements. I'm on a raw diet. I'm doing everything I can. But I also knew I needed to get my butt outside the penitentiary.
Out of the line of fire, man.
Yeah, before they put the razor wire up. Because it's even if they don't, spiritually it's there. You know, you go out and you're checking your passport, and everything is, you know, now it's going to be, you know, iris reading and on and on and on. It's not going to get any better. Whatever we're going to be screaming about it, we need to gather our forces individually, in our families, amongst our loved ones. But the awakened community really needs to pull together and information what it's all about. Your show, so many great websites. David Icke's great new station coming up. I mean, that was the most exciting thing to watch happen. He raised over 300,000 pounds. People are behind it. I mean, he invited me to do a weekly thing. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'd love to be part of that, but it's what we can do. Information is our weapon, you know, and conscious awareness and transmitting love in any vibrational form we can is what empowers people. People are so alone. I experienced that on my site. People write in, I'm all alone. I don't know anybody. Nobody listens to me. But wham, we find each other, and we have each other, and we all speak the same language. We're in the same vibration. I'm not alone. And like I said in another post, I think we're strategically placed. We're where we're supposed to be. And maybe we need to keep moving. And that'll happen when it's supposed to. And even where I am now, I'm not necessarily here permanently. I'm looking around. But it's, you know, it's a learning experience. But I went where I was prompted to go, as I understood it. And if it's wrong, as you go, you'll get steered. The last minute with us, Vinny, I was telling you about our move in the first hour, but we were headed for someplace, and we were pretty much geared up. We had everything ready. The last minute, it completely changed over 2 weeks. And where we landed has had so many synchronistic events I couldn't begin to tell you. It's just fabulous, from people we've met, from crazy incidences to one thing after the other. And it was the craziest last-minute change that I've ever seen in my life. And it was like, and it was so cool. It's fun. And I just want to encourage people to step out. You know, have some guts, do what you're prompted to do, and stop worrying about the consequences. You know, that's programming.
You know, that's actually quite interesting, is people do think about the consequences, and they think about the consequences for so long that they waste all the time, and wasted time is in itself a consequence of thinking about your consequences.
Exactly, and the moment's gone. Sometimes there's an opening, you know, and synchronicity is waiting there to meet you.
Yeah. And here it is. It's right in front of you. Just take it. What are you waiting for?
Or maybe that's talking to somebody in the freaking line at the grocery store who you see is struggling with something, or you just get this sensation, I'm going to mention what's going on here, or I'm going to point out the chemtrails when I get them outside, or I'm going to do something, but you get that prompt. Yeah. Well, we've got to follow those prompts. We got to stop being little numbnuts where we're not able to respond. It's just
that's your intuition, you know, and it means tuition from within, meaning you're learning from your insides.
Wow, that's beautiful.
It's telling you what to do, man. You know, just listen to your heart, listen to your conscience. I mean, like, I remember this one time, and this is quite a funny example, actually, and this happens to me all the time, where something will tell me to do something. So it's like, Vinny, take down your washing, it's going to rain. And it's just like, no, I can't be bothered, I'm too tired. And then as soon as I walk through the door, boom, starts pissing down with rain. You've got to be freaking kidding me. I should have listened to myself. We'll be right back after the break with Zen Gardener, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show, AmericanFreedomRadio.com. I just had to say that there because, I can't add in music to the YouTube versions of the show. And I was putting myself on webcam, and behind me is a little picture that we had on just earlier. Of me as Haley Joel Osment in The Sixth Sense, with Bruce Willis, and it's me, you know, just kind of like tucked up in the sheet, going, "I see scumbaggery." And Bruce Willis asked me, "When?" And I go, "All the time, walking around like regular people. They don't even know they're scumbags." Yeah. I mean, you got to have a few laughs, and I think this is what we were talking about earlier as well, weren't we, Zen? Is that the importance of having a few laughs can't be overstated. All right, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, this world is toxic poison for your mind 99% of the time. There's 1% healing energy in there, and 99% scumbaggery. And the thing is, you get what you focus on, and the problem is, the scumbaggery is absolutely trying to seek your attention, and it's loud, and it's brightly coloured, and it's very easy to get distracted by the scumbaggery. And the goodness, the decency, and the caring, the empathy, is that little 1% of in the back of your mind that just goes, "Hey, stop looking at all the scumbaggery all the time.
Yeah.
You're a good, decent person. Yeah. You don't need to waste your life trying to be a better person. You already are great. Don't worry about these stupid people who insult you and call you racist. Just live."
Yeah. You know, it's totally true. And you know what else is about humor? Laughing at these insane psychopaths, these so-called elites, these controlling whatever they are entities, laughing at their faces, laughing at them, is what really gets them. That really gets them. Just really being able to laugh in their faces at their idiocy, their ugliness, their stupidity, their lack of being complete. You know, they're in this limited realm of screwed upness that is so creepy and so stupid. You know, we can afford to laugh at them, and that really gets them. I did a post called Faces of Evil That Rule the World, and you know, I put a bunch of faces of these creeps, these psychopaths in power, religious figures, and you know, the Kissinger types and all this kind of stuff.
The scariest one was David Rockefeller.
Oh God, they're all scary, man. Yeah, it's creepy. Their eyes just unbelievable. You'll actually see black eyes in these people. The darkness is so
Yeah, it's like
so evident.
It reminds me of like the exorcism of Emily Rose, the eyes of these people, you know.
Yeah. I'm so bored of you. Yeah. I speak an ancient Sumerian and try to suck the soul out of your brain, please, chasm.
Kissinger looks just like those creeps in what's that, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Universe, to the Galaxy.
The Vogon.
Yeah, he's a lookalike.
And apparently, apparently Kissinger's poetry is just as bad. Apparently, Kissinger's poetry is the ultimate anti-aphrodisiac.
Oh, geez, I wonder how much time he has left. He's headed for a nasty ending. I've got a picture I'm going to put up of a gargoyle that looks just like him. It's got a rain pipe coming out of its mouth on a building. It's just unbelievable.
That's called a gargoyle.
Yeah. Vinny, you're in form tonight. You're in form. Hey, you know, I was going to say something about this walking on eggshells thing.
Oh yeah.
Where you can't talk about, you know, even this case, no matter what you say, if you're white, it's a racist comment against the Trayvon thing. And if you're black, it's racist against something else. And people are going, you know, it's this psychotic reaction that's been induced. It's almost like they've used one of their mind control buzzwords, you know, to just flip people out. And you watch, it's going to get more and more insane. But this walking on eggshells, now you can't talk about it. It's the same thing with Zionism. You can't talk about it. You can't talk about the obvious, you know, the exclusion of – they don't even mention Israel and all the spying stuff. And everybody knows. Anybody who's a computer person, a real computer person on the inside stuff, knows that the worst hackers, the worst bug planters, the worst spies come out of Israel. They're all – and they know where they're based. They know their nodes. They're the nastiest. Do you see a word on that? No. That's why, you know, you see the Snowden thing. You can tell who's really telling the whole truth and who isn't. If they're getting publicity, then they're not saying anything really nasty, or whatever they're saying is supposed to get out. But when they're not covering them, or all of a sudden they disappear, then, you know, they cross the line. But that's just another example, just like so many things.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. People have it all. We've got infinite possibility inside of us, and they people need to learn to let it out and follow it, you know, listen to it. Like you were talking when the break happened about bringing in your laundry because you had that sense. I mean, there's so many things like that. And it's not to be like over spiritualize everything, but we all know when you get that nudge, do you go with it or not? Is it that hard to just give it a shot? Really? Mm. You know, are we that proud? Are we that lazy?
Well, the real problem is when it's like, I don't know, 12:30 and you're in bed and something tells you, get up, write down the song lyric and stuff like that, because then it's a real pain in the ass to get out of bed and write it down. And you choose not to. And then you think, oh, I'll try and remember it. I'll try and repeat it a couple of times. And then you try and remember that song lyric in the morning. It's gone.
Gone. Exactly right. Great example. I mean, if you saw my notes, I scatter all over the place. I mean, I can't even get back to most of them, but at least I write down things as they come. One of the reasons I write, you could probably tell the way I talk, I go all over the shop, but I write because things come so fast and analogies come and all this kind of stuff. When I put it on in black and white, it forms a structure. It's almost like a crystalline thing forms where it makes sense, and I can transmit, I can communicate the essence of what I'm trying to say, be it a, you know, trying to make something clear, if not just for myself, but I'm trying to make something clear, but there's something in it that gets conveyed. And I just did it for myself, I did it to try to do that, but all of a sudden people were writing going, how did you know what I was thinking? Or I can't believe this. And you'll see that more and more on the internet with people who are speaking up. So, or you're thinking of writing an article and you click on something and there it's already written. Someone just wrote it. And you're thinking about that exact thing. How many times does that happen? And it happens faster and faster. So just as they're amassing their ugly weapons of darkness to try to contain us, our awakening is exponential. It is just the most exciting thing. And people have got to be able to see it. They've got to be able to identify it and draw encouragement from it and not look at the darkness. That's why when people get fascinated by it, you know, by staring at it and describing it too much, or, oh, isn't it this, isn't it that? We have to some extent to break it down. But when people get their energy gets sucked out and they get sapped, they're not going to be able to identify this wonderful side of it. And that's what people need to learn to feed on. And it comes from heart, you know, and I don't know all the dynamics. I'm no, you know, whatever. I just share what, as I understand things, but that's what people need to do. And I think putting things into words for me, I mean, I write music too and stuff. I haven't been doing music for some time, but, or poetry, things like you just said, when things come, they're inspirations, they're precious. Whether it's an impulse to do something for someone or contact an old friend or take care of a stray dog or, you know, clean something or take somebody a cup of tea, a cup of coffee because you know you should, and it would be a nice loving thing to do. And even if you didn't fully feel it, you do it and the feelings come. Like, things activate like that. And we can expect, I think that things are happening vibrationally that are, we're all creating our own tsunami of truth. Like I was saying about that highway, you know, people are all busy with their little machines, whether they're cutting a few blades of grass or planting a tree or helping to lay the road or, feeding people, whatever. There's this truth highway being driven into this refuge back there, wherever, you know, this conscious refuge that is just magnificent. And we have so many people to thank for it, but we all need to be part of it. And we need to go full time. We can't do this part time.